Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming. Just as a disclaimer, I've only really talked about my research in Spanish for the past year and a half. So if I bumble and say something in Spanish, I apologize. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit and actually talk about the relationship between soil health and food security, something we haven't talked about yet this morning. So why is soil health and food security important, and how is soil health related to food security? Here's a figure from a paper that was just published a couple months ago by Rojas and his team, and he's basically saying that healthy soils impact food security through a variety of soil functions that then impact crop yields and eventually food security, both locally and nationally. The problem with this is there's not really any data examining empirically, like, the relationship between soil health and food security. No one's looked at a community, a point in time, or more direct relationship. It's a lot of, like, theoretical modeling. So what I want to talk about today is some of my research and one attempt to actually quantify the relationship between soil health and food security at one point in time in one community. We chose El Salvador as our research location because we thought if there is a relationship between soil health and actual food security, the best place to see it is in an agrarian community of smallholder subsistence farmers. So I'm going to talk a little bit about El Salvador, our research objectives, and some of the methods we used. But before moving on, I want to point out, this picture here. This is one of the farms that I worked on. So just to move yourself to El Salvador. Everyone's working on pretty marginal lands, really steep slopes, so soil is extremely important. And think about El Salvador, a small country here on the western coast of Central America, about the size of Connecticut. Looking at it a little bit more closely, as you can see, there's a volcanic corridor through the center of El Salvador, so most everyone is farming on pretty marginal, highly sloped lands. And I worked here where the star is, in the department of Morazan, which is one of the poorest regions in the entire country, right on the border of Honduras and in a very mountainous region. I chose El Salvador as my study location because of the high prevalence of smallholder farmers. 98% of all farmers in the country farm 2 hectares or less. But these small farmers have a huge impact on the national food security. They grow approximately 50% of the national food production. However, the government's really worried about increasing malnourishment rates, especially in the rural areas. And the government has also said that soil erosion in the last, 10 years and moving forward is one of the biggest environmental threats facing the country, and the UN has also backed them up on this. So we thought it would be a great place to look at soils and how it's impacting food security. So basically, what we wanted to do is if we look at one community at one point in time, is there a relationship between farm soil health and food security? So how do we actually do this? What we did is we randomly selected 21 farms within a county, a canton, and then just for all statistical analysis, the farm is the actual experimental unit. And then within each farm, we had 3 different sampling locations that we combined for a soil health score. And then at each farm, which was managed by one household, we did an in-depth household surveys to better understand their production practices, what kind of management decisions, organic or non-organic practices they were using, as well as actually calculate a food security level. But what does that actually mean? How do you calculate food security? Luckily, there is a FAO Latin American Food Security Index, Food Insecurity Index, actually, and it's standardized throughout Latin America, used in every country in Latin America. And basically, you ask each family a set of 15 standardized questions, and the number of yeses and nos that they give gives you a percentage of food insecurity. And you also get a classification of food insecurity, light, moderate, or severe. And then we get into soil health. As you've all heard this morning and in other talks, soil health is really complicated, and what are we measuring when we talk about soil health? It's really complicated here in the U.S. It's even more complicated in the tropics because there's less standardized ranges. There's no one really working in soil health in the tropics. So what we did is we basically looked at 3 different soil health analyses and took all the parameters from each of those and calculated 3 different soil health scores. First was the Cornell soil health analysis. Most of you are probably familiar with that. We took soil samples and actually shipped them to Cornell for analysis, and they give you a score on 0 to 100. Then there's the NRCS soil quality test, which we adapted kind of to our in-field measurements. We had some stuff we sent to a lab, mostly in-field measurements. And then the CATIE, which is a Tropical Agriculture Research and Higher Education Center based in Costa Rica. And they've created a guide for agronomists and farmers in Central America to actually evaluate on-farm soil health in the field. So that was all in-field measurements. The parameters we actually measured were a variety of chemical, physical, and biological. Here they are. Here's the list of what we measured. And you can see at the bottom here which ones came from Cornell, NRCS, and CATIE. And then moving on to a little bit of the results. Obviously, we have a lot of really interesting sociological data in looking at what kind of decisions farmers are making and how they're managing their land. But because of time, I just want to point out a few interesting things. So food security. 100% of all the households we interviewed were food insecure. This basically means that farmers and their families were worrying about on a regular basis how they were going to feed their families, where their next meal is going to come from. Like, worry was a pretty consistent part of food. However, 24% did have a severe level of food insecurity, which is a pretty high number. And severe food insecurity means that they're skipping maybe on a weekly basis or a daily basis meals. A number of the farmers that I interviewed actually consistently only ate 2 meals a day. Maybe the kids would eat a little bit more, but most adults only ate 2 meals a day. So then, when we look at soil health scores, as you remember, I calculated 3 different soil health scores. And the reason we calculated 3 different ones is because we didn't necessarily know which one would be the most valid. Maybe one's better for research, maybe some are better for farmers, because we're also partnering with the University of El Salvador, and they want something that they can use with farmers. But we wanted to compare these 3 different scores to each other. So here you can see that the NRCS and the CATIE score are pretty nicely correlated to each other. On the left here, both are a 0 to 20 scale. Not surprisingly, we were pretty happy with that. And then we also compared Cornell's soil health score to the NRCS score. It's a little bit more scattered, but still fairly a nice cluster there, correlated. However, the Cornell score was not significantly correlated with the CATIE score. I don't have the graph here, but basically Cornell and the CATIE didn't really seem to have much of a relationship, which is interesting and important to note because the Cornell score is maybe what researchers are looking at, and the CATIE is what farmers and agronomists are looking at, and if they're looking at totally different soil health scores, that's a problem. So then, how did these correlate to food security? Interestingly, the only one that actually seemed to have any kind of impact or relationship with food security was a Cornell soil health score. So here, on this graph, on the y-axis is percent food insecure. So you want a lower number there. It's like kind of counterintuitive. And then on the x-axis is the Cornell soil health score. So you want a higher number. So this negative trend is what you want to see. It's not super tight, but we didn't expect it to be super tight. But there does appear to be some relationship there, which is really interesting and definitely worth looking at. So then, like, what is it about the Cornell score that maybe was important or unique and different compared to the other scores? So we looked at that. And so here are the things we measured for the Cornell Soil Health Index. Everything in bold is what's unique to the Cornell. So mostly the chemical indicators, some of the biological. But all the chemical ones that seem to really be interesting are micronutrients and base cations, as well as base saturation and cation exchange capacity. This was really cool for us and interesting because most of the farmers that had higher levels of food security actually were all applying a lot more manure-based fertilizers or organic materials. I would say the vast majority of them were. And even some of them were using cover crops. And so these should actually improve your micronutrients and your base saturation, cation exchange capacity, and all of them with a little asterisk on there, on the chemical, all of the micronutrients that have that little asterisk, not just iron, were significantly correlated to food security. Correlation does not prove causation. I don't want you to walk out saying that iron improves food security, but I think it's definitely something to be looking at because all the farmers that were not using organic material additions, we're just using a 16-20-0 fertilizer that the government gives out. So there are no micronutrient additions to the soils. So this is something that we want to continue to look at in the future and look at basically micronutrients specifically and how they improve soil health and how they can improve food security. So to summarize, unsurprisingly, there were very high levels of food insecurity in rural farming, in this rural farming community that we looked at, basically one county. Probably higher than expected and actually much higher levels than the government is reporting. And there's definitely no standardized soil health indicators for the tropics. This makes researching in soil health hard in the tropics, and I think it's an area that definitely has a lot more potential for research. The NRCS and the Cornell soil health indexes were significantly correlated, which is good, however, as well as the NRCS and Cattier, but the Cornell and the Cattier did not seem to have any kind of relationship. Maybe a larger sample size would help. As well, also the Cornell soil health index does appear to have some sort of correlation or relationship with food security. So I just got back 2 weeks ago from El Salvador, a full season of field research. We don't have any results yet, but we are looking at base cations and micronutrients and their relationship with food security on a more specific level and how these base cations and micronutrients might improve soil health, specifically through the use of organic amendments, as well as farmer perceptions and how farmers perceive organic amendments to improve their soil, as well as their crop yields and crop growth through on-farm field trials. So that's pretty exciting. And with that, I would love to thank the following funding sources, my advisor and committee, as well as the University of El Salvador and all their support in my research, and a nonprofit that helped me a lot in El Salvador. With that, I believe I have a couple minutes for questions. Yeah, percent organic matter did vary quite a bit. None of them were bad, from like 4 to 11%. It's kind of the range, a good range.
Do you think you have an understanding of why the correlation
at this point? I'm doing some multivariate statistics with that, and it's something that we're looking into to better understand maybe why that, but I think it's an area, like there's not a whole lot of work on soil health in these and how these different soil health, so it's just really something I'm just starting to understand. The size of the farm didn't vary a whole lot. They were all about a hectare, more or less. We sampled, tried to do three different soil sampling locations within that hectare. Slope is something that we did measure, and there was a wide variation. And as far as we can tell in statistics, there was no correlation. I do think that you might have a correlation between slope and other, like obviously erosion, but at this point we haven't found any significant impact. Zero to 20 centimeters.
Okay.
Yeah.
But do you think there's a correlation between the thickness of the epipedon or something about the way broccoli is distributed through the profile that might correlate?
Well, I think it's possible. So the Cattier is actually measuring the depth of the topsoil, incorporated that into their analysis, and it didn't seem to have any, but I think it's something worth it. I mean, the soils are super shallow in general, so it's a problem, and none of the soils were much deeper than 20 centimeters.
Yeah.
So,
thank you, Angel.
All right, thank you.